spiritual studies and one of the most important studies that we got to be able to teach. Amen?
Yeah.
And it's light and darkness. Wow. Let's pray a prayer and then we'll jump in. Come on. Father God, thanks for what an awesome midweek it's already been. Yeah. God, thank you for everybody going through the whole kingdom study and knowing the prophecies and how they're fulfilled. And God, we just pray right now as we're jumping this study that we can all be focused, that we can learn a lot right now from your word. Yeah. And God, that it's going to change the lives of the people that you put in our paths every single day. Yeah. God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2.
Come on,
Peter.
All right. This is an awesome study. 1 Peter's after Hebrews, in case you're still looking. Before 1 John. And before 2 Peter 2. And we're going to read it, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen people. Amen?
Amen.
A royal priesthood. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
A holy nation. That's great. A people belonging to God. That's awesome. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So here, it is being broken down. Light and darkness.
Come on, bro.
Yep.
Come on.
Talk about it, bro.
Darkness, and that's where these people were formerly. It says, when you're in darkness, it says, you are not a people of God.
Yeah.
You received no mercy. And so as I'm saying this, Pedro is taking notes. And he's drawing the graph. Two lines. And on one side, it says, darkness, not a people of God, no mercy. And right under that, it says, lost, not a Christian, not a disciple. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It says, once that's what you were, but now you are the people of God. So in the light... Now you are the people of God in the light.
Amen.
Now, in the light, you receive mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that good to receive mercy?
Yeah.
Not getting what you deserve.
Yeah. True.
And so, of course, that means you're saved because you got to be in the light to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Which means you are a Christian because you can't be saved without being a Christian.
Right.
Which means you're a disciple because there's no way you can be a Christian if you're not a disciple.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, Gerard, the question is, here you got to see, there's no twilight zone. There's no like, once you were not a people God, then you were on your way to becoming the people God. So you're kind of like in the middle. And then finally, you were the people of God. No, there's only one or the other. There's no twilight zone.
Right.
Where are you at? Which one are you? Light or darkness?
Come on.
Don't hold back, bro.
And so Gerard already knows that he's never truly been a disciple, which means he's never truly been a Christian.
Wow.
Which means he's never been saved. So he knows, I'm in the darkness.
Come on, bro.
But I want to get out ASAP. I know you do, Gerard, but you're still in the darkness.
Amen.
And we got to figure out, what does it take? And he already knows, well, it means I got to get baptized and all that stuff. You're like, okay, that's right, because a disciple gets baptized. First you become a disciple, then you get baptized. Okay. Let's look at what separates people from God. Let's go to Isaiah 59.
Come on, bro.
Says verse 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Nor is his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that you so that he will not hear.
Come on, bro.
I mean, guys, Gerard, you got to see what separates someone from God?
Sin.
Sin does. Sin separates you from God. Your iniquities have hidden his face from you. And so right now, Pedro's writing that picture. There's man and there's darkness. And then there's the wall of sin. And then there's God and there's the light. And right above that black wall of sin says wall, and right below it says sit. Amen? And so that's what you got. You're going to have to put that in test, by the way. Also the graph in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. So here, Gerard, what separates us from God? Sin does. So in order for man to have a relationship with God, what has to happen?
Wall of sin must come down.
You got to get rid of the wall of sin. I mean, it's so obvious. You know what I mean? The sin separates you. The sin puts a wall up. You're in the darkness when there's sin. So the point where somebody is finally saved is, and they're in the light, what has to happen? The sin has to be forgiven. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's so basic. Isn't it intense?
Yeah.
It's so simple. But, of course, Satan wants to make it very complicated.
Yep.
You guys okay? Aaron? Sherman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just want to make sure you guys are focused too. I mean, you know you're interns, but you still got to focus on the scriptures. Okay, so now let's look and see who is separated, who is sin. Let's go to Romans 3.
Come on, bro.
I love you guys. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Okay. Remember, this is a class, guys.
Yeah.
And this is more of an important class than any class you've ever taken in your life.
Come on.
Yeah.
We're talking about the salvation of mankind here.
Right.
And so we got to say, we got to get this.
Yeah.
If you think you've already got the L&D study down, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You are never at the top of the gospel right here. There's more to learn. Amen?
Yeah.
So I don't care if you've been around for 25 years doing this study.
Yeah.
You still got something to learn. Amen?
Yeah.
And if you've only been around for a year, then you really got some stuff to learn. And if you haven't been fruitful, then you really got some stuff to learn right here. Amen? And if you're convicted, then you got to have some godly sorrow. Amen? And don't get all down on yourself. All right.
No worldly sorrow.
No worldly sorrow. That just leads to
death.
Somebody needs to read 2 Corinthians 7 right here.
Alright,
let's pick it up. Back to the study. Romans 3:23.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace." Amen. "Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." This is intense. It says, out of everybody on the earth, who has sinned?
Everybody.
Everybody has sinned. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
So let's take three different people, okay? So here we go.
Okay.
We got person A, person B, person C. And you got different piles of sin. Little pile, medium pile, gigantic. Mm-hmm. Person A, he's only done a few things in his life. He said a curse word under his breath one time and stole some gum from a convenience store. And that's all he's ever done.
Come on, Justin.
He's never done anything bad. He's never gossiped against somebody. He's never lied. He's never lived a double life and tried to act like he was one person when he wasn't. He's totally a good guy. If you were to meet him, you'd say, surely this guy, person A, is going to heaven. There's no way God would send this guy to hell. No way. He's so good.
Well,
person B, pretty normal dude. Parties every now and then. Likes to drink. But is a good guy, nice, cool, just enjoys life.
Yeah.
Somebody you want to hang out with. Somebody you want to invite out to your barbecue. That kind of guy. But you know, like, hey, he has his sins. He blurts out a curse word every now and then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's like one of those normal, average dude. And then you got person C, gigantic sin.
Murder.
This is the guy who looks at pornography and masturbates repeatedly. This is the guy who lusts. Who even lusts after kids. This is the guy who has fantasized about raping a woman. This is the guy who doesn't care if it's his friend's phone, he'll steal it and sell it just because he's greedy.
Wow.
And it's a guy who acts like he's good and he lives a double life. Because surely that's probably as bad as it gets when you try to put on a front when you're really bad. That's as evil as you can totally be. Those are the people we got to watch out for. The one who's not real about his life.
Dang.
That's like, this guy seems super nice, but behind it, it is just hidden sin. And it's wicked sin. And so, out of these three people, which one is the furthest from God?
Everyone.
Yep. Because Charmaine's led it 18,000 times. Every single person. Most people say, well, surely it has to be the wicked person. No. Every person has fallen short of the glory of God. And sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So does that mean like a good guy, person A, is going to heaven because he's better than person C?
No.
Absolutely not. He is equally condemned to the same fate as the guy who has the wicked hidden sin in his life as well.
Wow.
So you guys say, whoa. So can being good and moral save you?
No.
Absolutely not. So can you earn your salvation and say, but I've worked so hard to be saved?
No.
You gotta obey the word of God and follow God's commands and love Him.
Yep, come on.
And only God can save us. Amen?
Amen.
So let's turn and let's look at what sin really is. Galatians.
Come on, bro. Come on, Mike.
Let's get in there.
Galatians chapter 5. The Bible lists sin, which a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
Is that intense? What is sin? I don't know. Let's look at Galatians 5:19.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Wow.
This is an intense scripture. It says, whoever does this does not go to heaven. They're condemned. They're in darkness.
Wow.
Keep it real, bro.
Come on, Bible.
The first thing on the list, sexual immorality. Because that's what plagues us the most as a culture. It sells even things you want to, people want you to buy. They use sex to sell it.
Yeah.
But wow. Immorality is the number one. What is that? Sex outside of marriage. And you want to define this, and the person taking notes wants to write what sexual immorality is. Sex outside of marriage. But I'm going to marry the person. It's still immorality.
Yeah.
Unless you're married.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be with a man or woman. It could be bestiality, which has happened. It could be whatever. Any kind of sex outside of marriage. What does it do? Sends you to hell.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Impurity. This is intense.
Yeah.
Impurity is pornography. That's an $88 billion business.
Wow.
It is thriving. It's doing better than Microsoft.
Wow.
And that's not funny. If you laughed, that's sad. Because that means there's people that are spending money that are going to hell.
Oh my gosh.
masturbation.
Yep.
It's not, that is impurity. That has a sexual connotation to it. That's a sexual act. That may not be with somebody else, but it's still impurity.
Yeah.
And then even with somebody else, maybe it wasn't immorality, but it could have been petting. Touching somebody's private parts.
Right.
That's impurity.
Keep it real.
French kissing, making out, impurity. It leads you, it stirs you.
Yep.
Laying down with a guy or a girl and just cuddling. Being aroused.
Right.
That is impurity. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
Well, isn't that intense?
Yes.
Yeah. We're all back.
You don't go to heaven when you live that life. You got to repent. You got to stop it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Then it says, next one, debauchery. Debauchery is overindulgence in something. It might be overeating. It might be oversleeping, watching TV all day. Whatever it is, just doing something too much. That's debauchery. Idolatry, putting something above God. Putting your hope, putting your security, not just bowing down to a statue, but putting your security, that's putting your security in something other than God. But we can do that with relationships. We can do that with job, family. We can do that with ourselves. Think we're our answer to everything.
Yeah.
Idolatry sends you to hell. There's only one answer for everything. God Almighty.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that we need for true happiness in this life. Then it says after idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft is pharmacia. Witchcraft in the first century had to do not only with astrology, Ouija boards, if they had those, but something along those lines. Palm reading, tarot cards. That's, in our modern day, witchcraft. Psychic hotlines, things like that. But also, any kind of drug that is mind-altering has to do with witchcraft as well, at least during this culture and time. Today you can say, well, yeah, that doesn't have to do with witchcraft. But when the first century disciple thought of witchcraft, they thought of mind-impairing drugs as well. So that has to do with drugs. We'll do that as well. Now, drunkenness also has to do with impairment of mind. So you have two things that nail drugs down right there, in case anybody's wondering. And in San Francisco, people do wonder. Next one is hatred. Hatred is just not loving somebody. So I had one guy say, I've never hated anybody in my life. But he was such an unloving dude. You think like, no, you're not loving. You are kind of hateful. Bitterness, resentment, that's hatred. Being passive aggressive, cutting people off, that's hatred. Then you got discord. Discord is just you love to argue. You love just to play the devil's advocate and put in your two cents. Then it has dissent. It has a jealousy. Jealousy is not the jealousy that it's turned into now today. In this definition, jealousy is something you have that you don't want anybody else to touch. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's your Xbox. Maybe it's your shoes. I don't know what it might be, but it could be something, okay? Fits of rage is, of course, exactly what it is. Fits of rage. You just lose control. You get angry. You freak out. You curse. You punch a wall. You start yelling at someone. You get in a fight. Those are fits of rage right there.
Yeah.
Selfish ambition. That's the person who needs all the attention for themselves.
Wow.
Look at me, everybody. Look at me.
Wow.
I have to be the center of attention. That's selfish ambition. Instead, you should be thinking about others and considering others better than yourself.
Yeah.
It also has to do with somebody who's willing to, what it's all about my career. That's, of course, the normal selfish ambition. But selfish ambition is when you're all about you. You don't really love other people. You only love other people for what you get out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Dissension. That's, you divide a group. So that has to do with gossip, slander, all those things. Things that divide people is dissensions.
Right.
Factions. Faction is you have a group you don't want anybody to be a part of. So this is my group. You're not allowed in. Envy is somebody has something you want. Talent. Athleticism.
Wow.
Personality. Maybe even race. You might even be envious of somebody's race. I can relate to that in all honesty. I had to repent of that. It's a funny story, but I'll tell you later. It might be money. It might be intelligence. It might be girlfriend or boyfriend. It might be where they're at in life. But envy is a sin. Amen?
Amen.
Just to be honest, I think singles can struggle with envy a lot. Because you look at married people and you think they got it better. They don't have it better.
No.
But you think they do.
Did you just say don't do it?
Drunkenness.
Oh my God.
Drunkenness is impairment of mind.
Yeah.
Of course, drinking too much alcohol, but anything. Marijuana, cocaine, whatever it might be. That jacks you up. It messes you up. Orgies is not just a sexual orgy, which is a group sin, group sexual sin, but it also is any kind of group sin. So being a designated driver, is that wrong? Yes, absolutely. Because it's group sin. Everybody's going out to get drunk, and you're participating and therefore advocating that it's okay.
Right.
So here people need to see just partaking in something. Let's say everybody's smoking weed. You say, well, I'm not taking it, but I'm just hanging out with you guys because you're my friends. That's still an orgy. You're in sin. Those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then it says, finally, and the like. Is that intense?
Ooh.
Yeah. So anything else that you know is sin? Lying. Is that a sin?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely it is. We're called to be honest in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody who lies has literally taken themselves out of the book of life. If you read Revelations 21, a liar goes to hell. Is that intense?
Yeah.
Like, whoa. God's not messing around. Cheating. That's totally a sin. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
Stealing, totally a sin. We all know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here, you're seeing the sin list. And by now, Gerard is like, oh my gosh. I am totally in darkness. Even if I thought I was a good person, now I see it. I'm out there. And then that's when you're going to say, okay, now we're going to confess our sin. But before we do that, I like to add one scripture, John chapter 3, just so they see light and darkness right here. So this isn't a part of the study, so you're not going to be quizzed on this, but I like using this so that a person understands the importance of confession and what it has to do with light and darkness. Amen? John 3, 19 through 21. It says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear.
Yeah.
For fear.
Yeah.
That his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes to light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is intense.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that if the light came into the world, how would darkness respond to it?
Oh, love it.
Wouldn't you be fired up?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you've lived in pitch black darkness your whole life. And somebody finally brings a light.
Yay.
We went camping this past weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
It was pitch black.
It was scary.
And all we wanted was for somebody to bring a light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you would think the world would be fired up spiritually when the light comes into the world. But is it, according to scripture?
No.
No. It actually hates the light. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
The world hates the light. Why? Because they're afraid of their deeds being exposed.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
So here you see the difference between darkness and light is being real about your life.
Yeah.
Is that crazy, guys?
Yeah.
I could use an amen right there.
Amen.
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 Gerard, when you're not open, you're in the darkness. Let's say, Gerard, you even become a disciple, and you're not open about your life. Where does that put you at?
Darkness.
In the darkness. You are not a Christian. You are not a disciple, and you are not saved when you're not open fully about your life. Intense. Is that intense?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a disciple leave the church because they weren't open about their life?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And have you ever thought back to all the times you were around that person and you never knew about their sin?
Yes.
That person was in darkness, although they came to the church.
Right.
Although they shared their faith. Although they had quiet times. They hid their sin. They were in darkness the whole time they were here.
Wow.
Do you think that that's the only time that will ever happen?
No.
Nope. It most likely will happen again. Why? Because people are cowards.
Yeah.
They're afraid to talk about their deeds. Doesn't that scare you a little bit?
Absolutely.
It shouldn't if you're being open.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't scare you, but it should make you sad that there's people in the church that are too afraid to be in the light.
Yeah.
And they come out to church and they literally live a miserable, torturous life because they're in church, in the light, and yet they don't talk about their sin.
Yeah.
And they're liars and cowards. And they come out to midweek and Sunday service and Devo. They give their contribution and they're in the darkness the whole time.
Wow.
It would be better for them to leave the church.
Yeah.
And be at least be real. We, as God's people, have it as our conviction to walk in the light.
Yeah.
But you also need to understand that there are liars within the kingdom. Because lying is a sin.
That's right.
Wow.
But the interesting thing about liars in the kingdom is that they don't get open when you confront them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what do you have to do? You have to love the person, but hate the sin. So when there's a liar in the kingdom, you still love that person, but you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Because they are probably lying to you.
Wow.
Isn't that it? That's intense, guys.
Yeah.
And just as a church, I think we need to be, just like Jesus says, innocent as doves, but shrewd as snakes.
Yeah.
That when somebody's a little bit off, when there's a little bit of weirdness, when there's something that just doesn't quite add up, it's probably because there's something on their heart they haven't dealt with and talked about. Does that make sense? When somebody's a little out there, you got to think, oh, I think something's wrong right now. And so we got to have that kind of understanding.
Yeah.
If you are being open about your sin 100%, I want to challenge you to make sure other people are as well. Because I can 99% bet, even right now, there is somebody in this room that's not being open about their life.
Yeah.
I would bet $20. I'd bet $100 on it. And I'm not a gambling guy anymore. But I will bet you $100 there is somebody in this room right now who hasn't gotten open. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do? Are you going to get them to get in the light and help them? Or are you just going to kind of accept that they're just a little off and you don't know why?
Wow.
Are you going to really dig into that person's life?
Yeah.
And help them to get to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to go to heaven, at least you're protecting the rest of the disciples. Amen?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, let's keep moving on.
Okay.
So back to... So that's why we're going to talk about our sin right now. Amen? And now Gerard's getting open about his sin after we've all confessed our sin. This takes a little while. But what you can do is either, for the sake of time, just confess the worst things you've done that are super embarrassing so that this person knows you're being real, or go through the whole list and say, I've done this, I've done this, and I've done this. But you want to be from the heart and you want to be honest about it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Like, embarrassingly honest.
Ooh.
Okay, 2 Timothy 3. Hidden sin in the kingdom.
Wow.
It's one of the most saddest, self-damaging, horrible things. That in the kingdom of light, there's people who are too afraid and cowardly to talk about their sin. It's just sad. Amen. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them.
Well,
so here, of course, here's another whole list of sins. I mean, if this is terrible times, last days, and you're, as a disciple, to have nothing to do with them, then these people are not in the light. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like they're doing all right. No, they're in the darkness.
Yeah.
Lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Now we're getting into the heart sins.
Yeah.
Boastful, proud, abusive. I think these are all intense. Unforgiving. That will send you to hell when you don't forgive people. And there's other scriptures that correlate with that. Slanderous, talking bad about people behind their back. That will send you to hell. Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
And so, I think one of the most intense is lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
For sure.
Because our society is a society of pleasure, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, everything you watch on TV, it's all about one thing, pleasure.
Yeah.
What feels good?
Yeah.
Cars, food,
beds,
whatever it might be, clothes, everything. It's so pleasurable. And so guess what our culture has become? A culture that loves pleasure rather than God.
Yeah.
And for us as disciples, we have to take a stand and say, nope, pleasure, I don't really love you anymore. God, I love you with all my heart.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And that means waking up early and having a crank and quiet time.
Amen.
It means you love God over pleasure of sleeping in. Amen?
Amen.
Saying, I'm going to deny myself from that flirtatious guy at work.
Yeah.
Because I love God and not pleasure.
Yeah. Amen.
Or that girl. Saying, you know, I'm going to be early to church.
Amen.
Because I love God.
Amen. Yeah.
And not the pleasure of, you know, getting distracted, sitting on a computer too long, or whatever it might be. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
And then it says, in the end, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That means that these people are religious people. Does that sense?
Talk about that.
They have a form of, they look like they're godly.
Yeah.
But their lives deny the power.
Dang.
Is that intense? Okay, let's look at James 4:17.
Come on.
Woo!
Good man.
Did you play treacherous?
So dark.
Treacherous means you're just not loyal. You're not loyal to somebody. You're treacherous. You easily betray people. That's treacherous. You guys can look up all those definitions. I think maybe you should look up all the definitions on your own. Okay. James 4:17. Anyone then who knows a good he ought to do and does not do it. Sins.
Well,
so now we've covered sins of commission. Now we're covering sins of omission, sins you don't do. So you may think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just staying at my house and being to myself. But I'm not looking at any, you know, bad stuff on the online. I'm not thinking any bad thoughts. But are you doing the good you know you got to do?
No.
And if you're not, then what does that mean?
You're in sin.
So here, if you know something's good and you don't do it, boom, sin right there. Isn't that intense? Are you starting to see, Gerard, what it takes to be a disciple right here?
Yeah. Yes.
All of your heart. That's why if you don't want to be this with all your heart, you're never going to make it.
Yeah.
It has to be wholehearted if you're going to do this. Okay, amen. Let's look at Romans 6. Good to have Laura Zamora in the house right here.
Laura.
In another introduction, this is Chris Jones from the South Region of L.A.
Welcome!
As you're turning to, Romans 6. But Chris is from the South Region. He's in Sacramento right now with his family because his family's going through some health and health issues that he's taking care of right now. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser for Chris and a few other people who need help. Okay, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So it says, what is the wages of sin?
Death.
You earn something from sin. A lot of times we think sin doesn't have any consequence. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. It has death as a consequence. And so even as disciples, when we sin again, we got to understand that's putting Jesus on the cross all over again.
Right. Yeah.
He died for sin because that's the wage of your sin is death. So, of course, what is death? That is wages of sin, gift to God, and you're doing the whole line under it, dividing line. Wages of sin, death, which means hell, which that means darkness. Sin equals death, hell, darkness. That's your wage. That's what you earn. You get it, right?
Yeah.
You want you. A person deserves their wage. They are legally obligated to their wage.
Yeah.
And spiritually, you are obligated to death, hell, and darkness when you sin.
Oh.
But then there's the other side, the gift of God. Yeah. The gift of God is eternal life, which means heaven, which means the light. Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
See, so now you know what darkness is, but now you get to see that there's another side, the light. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the light. John chapter 3. Now, you got to stay focused here. This is why I gave you extra time on the test, because I knew we'd go over because L&D is so long.
Yeah.
But that's why I want to start. Amen. Okay, John 3. We're going to read 1 through 7 here. It says, now there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with them. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus answered, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirits. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying a couple things. Number one, you have to enter the kingdom, enter the light through rebirth, through a new birth. And it's not a physical birth. Flesh gives birth to flesh. It's a spiritual birth. Spirit gives birth to spirits. And so this is a personal decision as an adult. Babies aren't born into a new life when they enter the kingdom of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm going to be a brand new person right now. Yeah. This is an adult decision. And what does it have to do with? Water and the Spirit. You enter the kingdom through water and the Spirit. Is that special?
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the message one must believe to be saved. Acts chapter 2. So this is the beginning, like we read last study, the kingdom study. Now we get to see the message that Peter preached to open the door to the kingdom. Is that awesome?
Yay.
And so it says in verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So here you have the message of the cross, the message one must believe. Number one, Jesus is from God.
Amen. That's awesome.
Number two, verse 24, God raised him from the dead. And number three, verse 23, you, with the help of wicked men, nailed to the cross, you put him to death. Those are the things you got to understand are true, Gerard. So let's look at see what these guys did in response. Verse 37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Is that intense?
Yeah.
So when they heard the message, they understood they were responsible for Jesus' death. They said, "What do I have to do? What do I do here?" Just a side note, an awesome thing was on Saturday, Roberto, Elliot, Aaron, and myself, we did the cross study, and Roberto was cut to the heart. He even shared, "I cried when I did the study." You guys are there.
Come on, bro.
Like, man, it was intense. Like, he got it. And then he's like, "What do I have to do? What do I got to do? I'm willing. It's so clear. I'm willing to do whatever I got to do right here."
Awesome.
Is that awesome?
Yeah.
And so he got baptized the next day for the forgiveness of sins.
Amen. Wow.
And of course, is that what everybody else did? Yeah, they did. We'll see that in a second. So they say, "What do we do?" Peter says, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Amen, guys?
Amen.
So now, two things. Repent. What does that mean? You do a 180-degree turn. Repent, literally, in Greek, just means to turn, but it means to do a 180. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You guys with me right here?
Yes. Yes.
Sir.
Amen. Then, not only do you repent, but then what?
Baptized.
What is baptism? Baptism literally means you're immersed. And when you're immersed, what happens? You receive the forgiveness of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins. Well, where did we hear that?
The kingdom.
Yeah.
Isaiah 59.
But Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. What separates man from God? Sin. And when your sins are forgiven, now you have a relationship with God.
Yeah, come on.
So this is the point when somebody is saved. And you got to make that clear to them, guys. That's part of the study. This is the point they're saved. Let's look at see what baptism is. Romans 6.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
You guys are doing awesome, just so you know.
You're doing awesome.
Come on, bro.
You're doing better, bro.
I can see some people fading right now, so I want to make sure you're... Do we need to do like a stretch break or anything like that?
No.
Let's all stand up real quick before we go to Romans 6.
Come on, let's go to Jumba Jacks.
And Justin's going to lead us in Jumba Jacks.
Oh, no.
Come on, Justin.
Side show hot, bro. You're on, bro.
I want to do Jumba Jacks, though.
Come on,
go ahead, bro. Justin, Jumba Jacks.
Can I just do that?
No.
Side show hot. Okay, how many should we do?
Lead, Justin.
You start.
Aaron, why do you do any jump jack, bro? All right, why don't you come up here and lead us in 10?
Do 10 more!
It says verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means! We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So here, you got the picture that you described. But baptism is a participation with Jesus in his death, his burial, his resurrection. Is that awesome?
Yeah, come on.
And so the picture, of course, you look in your handout online that you can get. But basically, it's a cross. Jesus gets buried, comes back to life through the power of God. For us, we crucify our life. We get buried in the waters of baptism. We're raised to a new life through that same power. Isn't that awesome? And so now we get to break down, and this is key for the study. You break down everything that you've just learned. So Isaiah 59, 1 through 2, sin separates you from God, right?
Yes.
In Acts 2, 38, it says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. What the point when somebody's baptized is when their sins are forgiven, they're no longer separated from God. John chapter 3, Jesus says you got to enter the kingdom through water and the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, in Acts 2, Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism. What's the water? The baptism.
Yep.
Spirit, that's what you receive after you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so finally, Romans 3, it says, we're justified through faith in his blood. Remember that one?
Yes.
So that means when do you come in contact with the blood of Jesus? In his death. That's when he shed it, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't bleeding the whole ministry.
Right.
Right? 3 years just bleeding all the time? No. You come in contact with Jesus' blood at his death when you participate with it in baptism.
Yeah.
Is that awesome?
Yes.
And that's when your sins are atoned for. And that's when the blood of Jesus is now on you and is now sanctifying you in God's eyes. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Okay, now let's look at some false doctrines real quick. Let's go to Matthew 15. It says, thus you nullify the word of God, second part of 6, for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So this is intense, guys. And Gerard, to see that if this was happening 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day, how much more traditions have come in the past 2,000 years?
Uh-huh.
A lot. Yeah. And it has caused the Bible to be nullified and for people now to be quote-unquote Christians but worship in vain.
Wow.
Because they're not following the Word of God anymore. They're following teachings of man. So we're going to look at two traditions that have caused people to worship in vain in our culture today. Number one is infant baptism. Let's look at Colossians 2 real quick. So this is, of course, maybe even Gerard got baptized as a baby. And he says, yeah, I got baptized as a baby. Of course, he's like, well, I know I didn't repent when that happened. But let's look at a scripture about what's necessary. Colossians 2:12. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So this is intense, right? Do you see it? What is, can a baby be baptized?
No.
No, why not? What does the scripture say about it?
Faith.
What about faith?
They need to be faith.
Why does there need to be faith? Because it says you're raised with him through what?
Your faith.
Through your faith in what? The power of God. Does a baby have their own faith in the power of God?
No.
So are they raised from the dead at baptism?
No.
No. A baby can't be baptized. They don't have faith in the power of God to raise them from the dead, just like Jesus was raised from the dead. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But that's why baptism is so awesome. Because a person knows they're dying in that water. And then God is raising them to a new life.
Yeah.
So, we got to understand something. Infant baptism was a doctrine that came around in 300 AD by Constantine. In 500, it was finally made official church doctrine, but it was based on the fallacy of original sin. Do you know what original sin is?
Yeah.
Original sin is you share the guilt of your forefathers.
Yeah.
So if your father has guilt, when you're born, that guilt is passed on to you. Let's look at Ezekiel 18.
Come on, bro.
It says, the soul who sins is the one who will die. The Son will not share the guilt of the Father, nor will the Father share the guilt of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous man will be credited to him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against him. So here it says, will the Son share the guilt of the Father?
No.
It literally says, the Son will not share the guilt of the Father. Is that intense?
Yeah.
The Bible's clear. God doesn't hold a son guilty for his father's sin. Original sin is a false doctrine.
Amen.
And if you want to study out more, we can get into it. But you just need to see it's not from the Bible. Yeah. It's a teaching of man that came around 500 years after the church was even started, and it has taken people out of living in the light and has cost them their salvation so that they're in the darkness.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's look at the next one, Revelation 3. This is the praying Jesus into your heart scripture.
Come on, Mike.
For all you Protestants out there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be proud of that.
Keep it real.
Come on, Luther.
All right, 3:20. It says, here I am. This is Jesus speaking. I stand at the door and knock.
Thanks.
Hello.
Come in.
If anyone hears my voice, that's Jesus, and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me.
Yep.
Here's the setting. Here's how some people believe you're saved.
Wow.
Awesome sermon.
Yeah.
Oh, feeling good right now.
Yeah.
Music yep. starts coming up.
Come on.
Okay. If any of you are, let me read a scripture. Revelation 3. Jesus is knocking at your door. Do you feel it?
Wow.
That's
wow.
Feel it in your heart.
That is so.
Do you feel it?
Come on, Mike.
Yeah.
Amen. You guys get the visual here?
Oh, yeah.
So
if you feel that, if you hear, feel Jesus knocking, you hear that voice, let me in. Jesus wants to be in your heart. And so now, for any of you that are not a Christian, with Jesus is not your Lord anymore, or never been, we're going to pray Jesus in our heart right now. And I want you to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
No, I'm just talking. This is what the false denominational false doctrine preacher says. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I know before you that I need your grace and mercy.
Right.
And I want you to be inside my heart and eat with me, and I'll eat with you, and then I'll be in your wonderful light and with you for eternity. Thank you.
Oh my God.
And if you said that prayer, guess what?
Saved.
You're saved! Wait a minute, that's not what we just read.
No.
So which one's right? Well, let's look in context. Revelation 3. Who was this scripture written to? Was it written to people who were not saved?
No.
Let's look. Let's go one, let's go a couple verses later right here. 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So who is it written to?
The churches,
the disciples—they already repented and were baptized. All right, let's see the problem. Verse 14: to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write: these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you're either one or the other. So, because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. So, what was the problem? Why was Jesus outside of the heart knocking in? What happened to the disciples' hearts?
They were
lukewarm.
Yeah.
They lost their passion. They lost their fire for God. And when you lose your fire for God as a disciple, Jesus is no longer inside your heart.
Wow.
Is that intense?
Yeah.
He's outside your heart knocking and saying, I want in. You're lukewarm. You're no longer fired up for me.
Right.
I mean, if you don't see somebody fired up for God, should that freak you out a little bit?
Yes.
That means Jesus isn't in their hearts.
Wow.
And he's knocking and saying, let me back in. Because you've lost your love, your fire, your passion for me.
Right.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
And we should be getting more fired up as we get older because we're closer to getting to heaven.
Okay.
Amen?
Yeah.
So all the older people should be the most fired up in the room. So this is a false doctrine. It was written to the churches. And this false doctrine command of salvation came about in the 1800s. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
For 1800 years, the church never even thought of this possibility until in the 1800s in the Bible Belt, they started the tent preaching, and it was too inconvenient to baptize people. So they said,
wow.
The sinner's prayer substitutes for baptism.
Oh,
is that intense?
Yeah.
And when you look up the history, that's where it came from. That's how out there most of the world, the denominational world, the whole denominational world is out there.
Yeah.
And that's what they believe. And now they say, pray Jesus in your heart and then get baptized as a symbol. So don't get fooled that they got baptized. They prayed Jesus in the heart for the forgiveness of their sins. They thought they were in the light. Baptism had nothing to do with being buried and resurrected. It was just something they did because they don't know why. You're just supposed to.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here, finally, Gerard, now you see what it really takes. You got to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins.
Right.
To be in the light. And I want to suggest for you to write a sin list where you write out all your sins so you can see the magnitude and the gravity of what you've done before God.
Wow.
And so that you can understand how awesome of a gift it is that God's offering you to have all that sin forgiven. Amen?
Yep. Amen.
Let's pray. God, thanks for this time. Father, thank you for your word, which is so powerful. And God, thank you for offering all of us salvation. Father God, I pray for people with hidden sin in the room right now. Father, that they can feel the darkness around them and know that they're condemned to hell until they talk about it. God, I pray that for us who are in the light, God, that we're so fired up for the gift that you've given us.
Yeah, come on.
And God, to know that we want to offer it to the world, Father, and hold it out to them. God, we love you. Lord, we're so grateful for you. And God, thank you so much for this incredible gift of being with you for eternity.
Amen.
God, I know nobody else would want to be for us with us for eternity except you, because you're so awesome. And God, we love you. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.